What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Wichita State wants you to showcase your support for the Kansas City Chiefs on Saturday for fans that wear red or yellow to Saturday night's game against East Carolina. Wichita State offering a $5 Hollywood general admission ticket, a $15 quarterback upper reserve ticket, and $2 off Bud Light bottles. Offers are only available in person at the Coke Arena ticket office on game day, which is handy because as you finish up that Chiefs game, you can make your way down, check out the Shocker game, a couple deals there coming from Wichita State. We talked about that game that weekend for the Shockers in the first hour. If you missed any of that, you can go back and catch it on the Odyssey app. Look, I want to talk about these coaches. We just briefly touched on the lack of movement for them. Vrabel's there, and we talked about, you know, the Chiefs and what if Andy Reid did. But Rick brought something up that I think is interesting to look at in this coaching carousel, and it's that you have if you have a great quarterback, or you know, we can think of this with these teams with quarterbacks we think might be able to be good. You need an offensive head coach. We've seen that work a lot in this league, right? We've seen it work for the Vikings, who have gotten a lot out of quarterback with Kevin O'Connell. We certainly saw Sean McVay bring in Matt Stafford and sort of unlock him a little bit. But I do think you don't have to have that be the offensive head coach. We see that fail a lot too, right? We just saw it fail in Jacksonville. Our rookie of the year's coming out of off of a team with a defensive minded head coach, and he's a quarterback, right? Dan Quinn's the coach there. Jaden Daniels is going to win rookie of the year. He didn't need an offensive head coach to be good in this season. So I think it is relative, but I think what you got to look at is, but Cliff Kingsbury's there, right? Cliff Kingsbury's there with Dan Quinn. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick won together for a long, 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 long time. Tom Brady had the consistency and obviously worked well with Josh McDaniels early on, especially. So I think you don't have to have it. I think at head coach, Tommy, you have to have somebody that's not dysfunctional. You have to have somebody that has things going in the right direction. If they're a great quarterback coach, that's handy. But as it pertains to Caleb Williams, you just use the example of what the Commanders are doing. That team's still alive. They have a defensive head coach, but they have Cliff Kingsbury in there at offensive coordinator. So if the Bears don't hire Ben Johnson and they do hire, I don't know, some defensive coach out there, they at least have to get offensive coordinator right.
Yeah, you've got to have somebody that can work with your quarterback, whether it's the head coach or the offensive coordinator or the quarterback's coach, that is right, functional, you know, and that is, you know, really talented and good at what they do. Take a look at, I don't think that Bo Nix, we would have gotten as much out of him this year had Sean Payton not been the coach.
Sean Payton, yeah.
Right? I think Bo Nix still would have been okay, but I think we got a lot more out of him because Sean Payton is the head coach in Denver. So you've got to have somebody there. I don't think it necessarily, I agree with you, has to be the head coach. You know, did Mike McCarthy get everything out of Dak Prescott? Maybe he did, and that's just the limitations of Dak Prescott. But I think you do need to have somebody there. As long as you've got, you know, a competent person that can work with that quarterback, that's really all that matters.
Well, John Harbaugh, Paul, is the coach of the Ravens, has been Lamar Jackson's entire career. He's not an offensive guy, right? He was a special teams guy. Right. So do we look sometimes too much at the head coach and how much actual coaching they do? Obviously, Andy Reid does a ton of it. But does a head coach have to be a great X's and O's coach to be great at being a head coach, I guess, is the question.
A main job of a football head coach is to coach his coaches. A lot of times coaches don't even talk to players. They'll coach those players through their coaches.
Head coaches.
Yeah, the head coach. So let me just give you a sort of an example of this. Let's go all the way back to the Green Bay Packers, the great teams of the Great Bay Packers under Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi had Hall of Fame players at the position of quarterback, of running back, of offensive line, of receiver, linebackers. He had D linemen, Hall of Famers. He had a couple of DBs, Hall of Fame. He's not coaching all those guys, is he? He didn't coach all those guys to be great Hall of Famers, to be great players. He coached coaches. He got coaches to coach those guys. Vince Lombardi couldn't coach all those guys. So here's the whole thing, guys. We're kind of missing the conversation, and that is great coaches coach their coaches to do what they want done. And I can remember going to practices all the time over the years with Bill Snyder up at K-State. We go to, you know, high schools and small colleges would bring their staffs in and go to practices in the spring and that kind of thing. Bill Snyder walked around with a little pocket dictator, you know, the ones with the cassettes, and he would make notes at every drill, make notes, 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 notes. And then he would go in and he'd talk to the coaches about his notes. He'd have them typed up and then he'd give his notes to his coaches. Bill Snyder did not coach players. Bill Snyder coached coaches. And that's, we're kind of missing exactly what great coaches are made of. Great coaches coach coaches.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Look, if we look right now, Bill Belichick, obviously a defensive coach, Hall of Fame quarterback. Pete Carroll, a defensive coach, Hall of Fame quarterback, probably.
Probably.
Russell Wilson.
Sure.
So, but if we look at the postseason right now, look at the AFC. Andy Reid's the only offensive-minded coach in there. The rest are defensive guys. In the NFC, you've got three offensive guys and one defensive guy in Dan Quinn. I think sometimes we overthink what you have to have. Like when, and the Bears job is the job right now, and the Jacksonville used to be and is to a lesser degree now. Like we keep thinking of these as they have got to hire this coach that's going to come in and be the best for Caleb Williams. But in reality, doesn't Caleb Williams just need the guy who's not going to let the Thanksgiving Day debacle happen? Like that head coach isn't going to be the one in his ear in a game, isn't going to be the one with him every day at practice. It's going to be the one that puts him in the best position to win a game during the game by the decisions that they make. But if they were to come out and hire Mike Vrabel, for example, I don't know how much that impacts the development of Caleb Williams. It's more about who's going to directly coach
That's
Caleb
it.
Williams.
And you're look, getting like, it. Now you're getting it.
There's a good point to be made in that, because you've got what, the number three overall pick in New England and Drake May. They hired Mike Vrabel to be the head coach. And yeah, there was no issue with that, because I'm sure that in Vrabel's mind, he's like, look, I need to make sure that whoever the offensive coordinator is, quarterback coach, all of that is a great coach for Drake May. And then he can overall, you know, take care of everything else. I'm on record. I've said it a lot. I don't particularly care for Nick Sirianni, but there is an article that came out this week on ESPN that I read that talks about how one of the best things that Sirianni did, and there were interviews done with him and his players, was that he gave up the play calling, and now he's the CEO of the team. Like, that's the kind of role that he's playing, and it's allowed him to really go and make close connections with other players that he otherwise would have never known and talked to. And, you know, I do tip my hat to him on that. I give him credit on that, because so often coaches are control freaks and they want their hands in everything. But if you can have more of an overarching CEO role, that may very well be the missing link for what Philly has missed all along when Nick Sirianni was calling the offense.
Well, and they brought in high-level coordinators too, Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore. I mean, Kellen Moore, I think is a little overrated, but he is a big name. To your point, they brought in big name. And look, there are some coaches that can do both. Sean McVay Kevin O'Connell's doing a nice job of that in Minnesota. Obviously, Andy Reid does a fine job. Bill Belichick was very involved. Nick Saban was very involved, I think, just to keep himself young. And I think, again, there's no one path to it at all. I think there are all kinds of different ways to find your right coach. So just find the right coach. Stop thinking about it in terms of, like, we have to, here's the coach we want. We have that on paper before we ever even talk to anybody. I think that's the wrong way to hire anybody. How about talk to the people and see, like, and go from there? Not like, it's interesting when we see this, because we get these young quarterbacks and we don't want to ruin them because they're ruined all the time by bad coaching, all the time. So look at Jacksonville right now. Like, Jacksonville had Trevor Lawrence. Everything was lined up. Everything looked good. They bring in Doug Peterson. He's quarterback whisperer. Well, they didn't win any games. That's not good for development, right? They you got to still have a coach that is just a good head coach, regardless. That's where Dan Quinn sits now. Dan Quinn's had a ton of success as a head coach. They bring him into Washington, and everyone's like, well, why Dan Quinn? Right after you had Ron Rivera, you've got these defensive-minded old guys. Like, why would you do that? Well, guess what? He convinced Cliff Kingsbury to come there. And Jaden Daniels is having an incredible rookie season. Does that surprise anybody? Who was C.J. Stroud's coach his rookie year? DeMeco Ryans was a linebacker, everybody. Like, DeMeco Ryans is a great leader. Like, he didn't sit there and help C.J. Stroud learn how to take a five-step drop, Paul. He's a good leader. And so I just hire the best coaches.
By the way, with Dan Quinn, the only reason why Dan Quinn, you know, still gets kind of criticized is because he presided over the largest collapse in Super Bowl history with the Falcons. That's the only reason why. Like, he has been a great defensive coordinator. He's done a really good job in Washington. He was a good head coach for the Falcons.
Yes, he was.
But nobody remembers that. They just remember the fact that it was 28-3 and the Falcons lost to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. That's the only reason why.
And forget that he was able to build a 28-3 lead 100%. Over the Patriots in a Super Bowl. And that's one of those, like, no brainer. If you go back and look at Dan Quinn's coaching record with the Falcons, he had a winning record.
Yeah.
He won the division twice. Never finished worse than second in the division. And he got fired for that. And then, yeah, it's like he can't coach. You know, he can coach. And he's going to bring in good people around him, Paul. And to your point, that's what it's all about. Like, who can go to Chicago and bring the best people in there to coach Caleb Williams? Mm-hmm.
And that's right.
And I think that's what makes that job really interesting. Mm-hmm. More interesting than the others, quite frankly, to me. I don't think it necessarily has to be a quarterback guy in that job. They just have to bring a quarterback guy along with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's right. And, of course, the Caleb Williams situation is kind of interesting because, you know, obviously under the prior management of the coaching staff, that was a situation where he wasn't getting what he needed. And by the way, having watched the Chicago Bears on Hard Knocks, Tommy, because I watched every episode of it, you know, it's obvious to me that Caleb Williams, he is a unique individual. He's not going to be coached like a lot of guys would be coached, not like a lot of quarterbacks would be coached. And you've got to figure that out. Personally, I don't think he was should have been the number one draft pick. Personally, I knew he wasn't going to be the best quarterback in this whole draft. I actually thought, believe it or not, I thought Daniels would probably be the best. And I mean, that's like really a stretch, right? Come on. Who didn't think that he was going to be one of the top two or three best quarterbacks in the NFL this year as a young first-round draft pick at quarterback? But, you know, it still comes back to the point where Caleb Williams is not where he needs to be. He's not close to where he needs to be. And you know why he's not? Because he's not getting the individual coaching at that position on that staff. He's not getting it. Now, I'm not sure he's willing to listen to it, even if he was getting it, but he's not getting it. And he
time
does.
Will tell on that. Time will tell
time,
on that.
Well, he's not getting it. I know that.
Yeah, and that's okay. Look at Bryce Young. Bryce Young's a great example.
All right, that's a good example.
Has definitely clicked for Bryce Young later, and I think Caleb Williams is a whole lot more talented than Bryce Young.
Oh, yeah. Well,
is he as good a leader and everything that Bryce Young, like all those things? I don't know. Probably not. Not yet. But he's young, so we'll see. It's a fascinating. There isn't any movement on this coaching cycle, which is interesting. Can we just get Prime to the Cowboys, please? Can we just... We just make that happen.
You're ready, aren't you?
I'm ready.
It's going to be
light
Kellen.
It on fire, baby.
It's going to be Kellen Moore. We all know that.
Kellen Moore.
Just shoot that me hurts. Now. Just shoot me now. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily right after this.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts, and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all.